Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. A sports news update for Club Tokemwal, Australia's premier Murray River golfing destination, with two top 40 golf courses. Talk to the Golf Package team today.
And thank you very much. I stand corrected. The Bont, Luke Beveridge wasn't there for the Bont's first year. You said you knew that, but you didn't want to pick me up on it.
Well, I didn't, because you and I are a team, and we'll get to the Lachie Neal stuff a little bit later. But I wouldn't want to criticise you like that so openly on air.
He said in the pre-game chat back, this is where the confusion for me comes in. He said in his time in footy.
Right.
But he may have been more specific yesterday. But that also includes Josh Dunkley, who is well prepared, and Timmy English as a first year early draft pick, Aaron Norton, Bailey Smith, Cody Waitman, Sam Darcy.
Well, Bailey Smith is the most interesting, most recent one because
he did
play a lot of footy in his first year, Bailey Smith.
Well,
he burst onto the scene.
And one of the most professional and hardest trainers of the lot.
G'day, hey, just before we get to you, Fieldy, I think you might have touched on something there.
What's that?
Maybe this is a needle for Bailey Smith. Maybe this whole
idea.
Well,
he's not playing this year, Bailey.
So. I know.
Want to be a big needle.
I know that. It's a... Hang on, we haven't got to
yet.
Maybe this is the reason behind it. Good morning to you, Fieldy. Hang on, before you go.
Good morning to you both. I've got a question for you, Gary. This is probably one for out of 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Shoot
but
it.
What do you do when you call someone, you leave a message, then you follow up with a text message, still nothing? Do you persist? Is there a certain amount of time where you need to provide silence, or do you keep going until they get back to you?
And further to that, when you make a statement when the call's about to be made and the question is asked, do you think he'll get back to you? And the person says, everyone gets back to the wisp. And they don't, then it's a touch embarrassing.
In fact, I think the sentence
I saved you before.
The sentence might have been uttered, when the wisp comes up on your phone, you answer.
That's it. That's exactly what he said. So anyway, he's still waiting for the return call.
I'll give him another couple of days.
Okay.
How long have you given him?
A month.
Okay. All right. Shall we get into it?
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about Angus Brayshaw because many AFL clubs, particularly their list managers at the moment, guys, are closely monitoring this negotiation that's currently taking place between Melbourne and their medically retired midfielder, Angus Brayshaw. So the two parties and the AFL are involved in this and navigating a termination payout for Brayshaw that comes with, well, I think it's fair to say, comes with unprecedented complications. The 5 years remaining on Brayshaw's multi-million dollar contract, chief among them. So at the age of 28, we know the score. He quit suddenly last month, repeated concussions, the most recent in the qualifying final loss to Collingwood last year. Now, his severance payout is likely to create a precedent given there is no blueprint at all, no formula for a medically retired player who holds such a significant contract. So Melbourne CEO Gary Peart, Brayshaw's manager Tom Petrura of TLA are at the moment in talks over what Brayshaw should be entitled to. The marketing component of the contract is another complicating factor. Yeah. Now, both of those men refused to comment this week, but of major consequence to Melbourne, of course, is whether that payout will be included in the club's salary cap. Now, several sources said they'd be surprised if the AFL forced Melbourne to fully pay out Brayshaw under the cap, given, of course, the size of his contract, and because he was medically retired from an incident that the league has since changed the rules on to avoid in the future. So there's some real sympathy and empathy with that, of course. He's entitled Brayshaw as well to apply for the football-ending injury benefit. The AFL Players Association have that injury and hardship fund, which is basically doubled to $54 million under the new collective bargaining agreement to look after former players and retired players. That will take into account, it's got a formula, Brayshaw's age, the size of the contract he can no longer fulfil, and in the end it spits out a termination payment. So we're going somewhere. Yeah, there's a lot to this, and this is why it's going to drag on for some time. It's really sensitive, of course, what he's entitled to, what he should be entitled to, and really, depending on who you ask, whether Melbourne should be made to pay it out under the salary cap, given there's 5 years to run on this.
There's so many layers. The good news is that they're all working in the best interest. They're not like at loggerheads, one trying to screw the other one over. But they are cognizant of the fact that comes with some heavy restrictions if, in fact, it has to stay in the salary cap beyond this year.
And you are relying on good faith with these things when you're going where we've never gone before. So, Tim, in this situation, and this is why clubs are watching it, should Melbourne have to include the payout for Brayshaw, which you'd think even if he's entitled to half of what he was going to get paid will go into the millions of dollars, should that be under the club's salary cap?
I don't know is the short answer to your question. I think because of the nature of this, I think they'll probably be forced to write into something around the rules and regulations of the game. It may be that a percentage of it is and not the full amount of it is, but it's...
I'd say no. Not just Brayshaw, because Melbourne will think it, people think it's me in Melbourne. I'd say no. Medically enforced retirement, no.
Not in the cap. No. Can't be foreseen, can't be anticipated. No. Okay.
I know when, it was a long time ago, but when we were playing, we had an insurance policy, did we not, when we played? That I know that I had to personally insure myself at different times when I played. Is that still applicable
that could
or
be
not?
That could be a factor. Now, Angus Brayshaw might have taken out his own insurance. Given he's had a few concussion episodes, he might have, unbeknownst to us, taken out his own insurance.
Policy.
And then the AFL is covered by an insurance policy as well. I think it's the death and disability fund that any person off the street can obviously be insured for. So, yeah, that could be affected, but we're getting into really complicating territory.
It is a tough one.
That's our strength, though.
No, it's not.
10 days out from the Tasmanian election, the AFL's play in Macquarie Point Stadium, of course, the ultimate political football. Now, there was a leaders' debate yesterday down in Tasmania as these two go toe-to-toe ahead of this election. Now, Labor's Rebecca White refusing to budge on her plan to renegotiate with the AFL on the stadium should she gain power. Now, the league's repeatedly maintained the ultimatum to Tasmania, which we all know, no stadium, no team. But the opposition leader, Rebecca White, has long been opposed to that stadium. Yesterday, as you're about to hear, essentially she said she was still determined to call the AFL's bluff.
Next week we're launching the team's colours, the name, and there'll be thousands of people across the state who are excited to see that happen. There's a board and they've started employing people. They're starting to actually build the momentum for a team in Tasmania. Is the AFL really going to rip that away from us?
So she's saying that much work has been done.
Rebecca,
surely they're not going to walk away if I gain power and I say, we don't want this stadium, we'll do something else.
Rebecca White would also have to know that she's not just taking on the AFL, she's taking on all the clubs as well, because that's the way they've voted.
Oh, yeah. The commission and the recent CEO's meeting as well, this was again canvassed. It's canvassed just about every time, and they are wedded to this.
Non-negotiable from all of the clubs on the basis of this team coming in. So Rebecca's got to, if in fact she's successful, she's picked fights with about 25 very powerful people.
And besides, this is where our man Dean Coleman comes in, because his facility looks absolutely breathtaking.
My word.
The full stop finally on Mason Cox yesterday. We did forecast the warning from AFL House, and late yesterday the reprimand was issued for the Collingwood Ruckman making contact with GWS's Shane Mumford pre-game on Saturday night. This was Laura Kane via AFL Media.
It was unconventional, a little bit unique. I haven't seen that before, but it's not something that we want to see, players interacting physical at that with opposition staff members or players in the pre-game warm-up. It's not a feature that we want to see at the elite game, nor is it a feature we want to see at community football. So Mason has been provided with a warning, and that's been communicated to the Collingwood Football Club.
Sensible outcome.
Oh, we can move on from that. Big night in the NBL tonight. Game 3 in 2 series to make the championship series. Melbourne United host the Hawks first. Illawarra, of course, 7:30. And then we're looking forward to this one. The Wildcats and the Jackies have been all sorts of spice involved in this one. And Hutchie's been roped into it. It's been massive. And that's from 9:30 Eastern time.
Well, if they get into the finals, then there surely have to be a positive story written on Craig's investment into this team.
I'd actually produce a one-off series of merch as well, just to celebrate that.
I thought you were going to say the Herald Sun will present a one-off newspaper just celebrating the success.
Well, the Jackies have been unhappy
over
this series.
Are they
ignoring
the Jackies?
Oh, very unhappy.
Why?
It's been allegations of being un-Australian.
They dobbed them in.
Dobbing in players. Tim Payne had a go at Hutchie, if you
Tim
don't
Payne. Mind.
They had a clash on air.
About what?
And an SEN Tassie.
Oh, because Tim Payne's back on the Jackies.
Oh, he had the Jackies jersey on.
He need to work out where his bread's buttered, Timmy.
Indeed.
No, so that's massive. So it's a double header, 7:30 tonight, Melbourne United and Illawarra. Into 9:30, the Wildcats and the Jackies. Into the Tiny Show on 7.
I'm not commenting on that.
It's the big show.
I'm not commenting on that at all.
Well, I won't be watching. I'll be in bed.
We'll be back tonight after the front bar. That's all you need to know.
Teams tonight, obviously, for Carlton and Richmond. Stack of ins for Richmond, it would appear.
So Lynch going to play, do you think?
Well, it sounds like Lynch is definitely in. Did you see the Richmond's Instagram?
No, I'm not on Instagram.
Okay. Well, they're saying Richmond royalty set to return.
Nice.
And they'd photoshopped little.
It was very funny. Yeah. It was
photoshopped what?
Well, the royal family, which has been at the subject of various Photoshop allegations.
I think, you know, the GWS media staff, I think they've raised the bar and now everybody else is just trying to come up above and a little bit beyond where they've been previously. And I think it's a great thing for the game for them to be doing this.
GWS's latest offering on the freeway, I don't know if you saw it with the cars and the... Did you see that? I have to have a look at that.
I did not.
I'm going to send that to you.
How can we emphasize this? I'll just leave you with this. This is what this is the Pandora's box that's been opened on the Brayshaw. How can it be unforeseeable when he already had concussion issues when he signed his last contract, which is a very good point, Jim.
There was a big gap, though, between the Braden Maynard concussion and his most recent. I'm not sure what it was, but it was several years. So,
outstanding from you again, Field Marshal, for Club Tokemoor on the Murray, your next golfing holiday. Go off into
Send him a text, Wisp, just a text.
See if the Wisp can contact
you. Maybe a LinkedIn. Or
I might, look, in the ad break, I'll work
No. Don't you try and help me.
I might put a public call out. A public call to get back to the Wisp because he's...
I'm sending a... I think he may not know who it is, that name, so I'm actually sending a photo with it and a little bit of a video highlight of the Escort Cup Grand Final back in 1981.
Could you send him your mug?
Oh, yeah, the mug.
Oh, yeah, he found that interesting too.
The 84 Essendon Premiership reunion is on Saturday. Fox Footy have got exclusive rights to it and I'll be having full access to the Wisp and maybe Paul Weston, who's going to join us after 8 o'clock.